Now notice what God says here in verse 12, and this is quite a remarkable verse, and we don't want to miss the point that is here. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. Now, what is it that God is saying here? Because as far as I'm concerned, this expression, though they be quiet, and likewise many, it just doesn't make sense to me. I do not understand what he's talking about. Now, I want to show you here how archaeology has confirmed many things in the Scripture that we do not know or would not have known. And also, it reveals the accuracy of the Word of God. And I would like to read to you now a note that is in the New Scofield Reference Bible. Now, there's some of you folk, because I have disagreed with several changes that the New Scofield Bible has made, they feel like that I don't recommend it. Now, may I say this to you, that it's the best reference Bible that you can get today. I'm beginning now to use this New Scofield Reference. I really can't get weaned away from my old one. I have it right here in front of me, and I have my new one in front of me, because I'm acquainted with the old one, and it suited me fine. But actually, the New Scofield Reference, for any of you that are new Christians and want to get started studying the Bible, I suggest you get a New Scofield Reference Bible. And I'm not disturbed today by the critics who are finding fault with it. Now, when they come up with a better reference Bible, then I'm going to recommend theirs. But so far, all they've done is criticize. They have not turned up a good reference Bible at all. In fact, one or two that have come out from liberal sources are, to my mind, very anemic, very weak, very unscholarly, and very unacceptable. And I would not recommend them. I do recommend this, though the men that were the editors of the New Reference, I never knew many of the men of the old Scofield Reference Bible, but I know practically all of the men, or at least most of them, of the new one. And I want to say this, all of them are just as human as you and I are. Very human, they're subject to mistakes, and not one of them, as far as I know, ever felt that their notes were inspired. In fact, the matter is, several of these men are very humble about it and would tell you offhand that they are not inspired. But you know, every now and then, they really put in a good note, and that's the reason you should have it. I'm going to read their note on this verse here about this expression, though they be quiet, and likewise many, because I would never have known had they not told me what it means. So let me read this for you today. And I'm reading now. In the context, the expression, quite and likewise many, although a literal translation of the Hebrew, does not seem to make much sense. And I sure have to agree with that. Actually, the Hebrew here represents a transliteration of a long-forgotten Assyrian legal formula. Excavation in the ruins of ancient Nineveh, buried since 612 B.C., has brought to light thousands of ancient Assyrian tablets, dozens of which contain this Assyrian legal formula. Now, you see what God is doing. He's picked up a legal formula of the Assyrians, so they'd understand what he was talking about to them, for that's who he's talking about here. It proves on investigation to indicate joint and several responsibility for carrying out an obligation. Nahum quotes the Lord as using the Assyrian formula in speaking to the Assyrians, saying in effect, even though your entire nation joins as one person to resist me, nevertheless, I shall overcome you. So you see that when you put it in light of what we know today, God was saying something that made sense to the Assyrians, and it doesn't make sense to us today. Now, this reveals something. Now, I'm going to finish the note now that's in this New Scofield Reference Bible. As the words would have been equally incomprehensible to the later Hebrew copyist, their retention is striking evidence of the care of the scribes in copying exactly what they found in the manuscripts and testifies to God's providential preservation of the biblical text. Now, when the Hebrew scholars came along later on, they didn't know what this meant either. But they translated it literally. Why? Because they believed in the plenary verbal inspiration of the scriptures. And thank God for that. Now, that leads me to say this. That's one of the reasons I can't buy a lot of these so-called modern translations. They are not translations at all, because many of them were done by men who do not believe that this is the Word of God. Others, although they believed it was the Word of God, they wanted to put it into a form that modern man could understand. May I say to you that I rather disagree with that method. And I'm very happy that one of these translations, it says a paraphrase text. And I would say this concerning it, the Living Bible, that it is a bad translation, but it's a marvelous paraphrase text. And if you'll treat it as that, then fine. But don't believe that you're getting the literal text of Scripture. And this passage here reveals that though you might not understand it, God says you put it down like I have given it to you, and you'll find out someday what it means. That is, if you'll work hard enough and study it hard enough. And the trouble of it is, we're trying to make the Word of God like pablum, and we're trying to spoon-feed a bunch of babies today that are too lazy to really study the Word of God. And my feeling is, although I certainly am at least accused of making it simple, and I try to make it simple, but the point is that I believe today that there ought to be a real reverence for the text of Scripture. And I'm no Bible worshiper. I'm no bibliophile by any means. But I do believe that there should be a reverence for the text of Scripture. Now, I spent time on that because that expression that I don't understand. Now, with archaeology digging up, and it's done a great deal of work yonder at the ancient city of Nineveh, and many of you ought to have my book on Jonah because it goes with this, and I tell about how the ruins of Nineveh were found, the tell that was across from old Mosul, the modern city, and how back in the last century the excavations were made. And the book of Jonah tells of the great revival 100 years before God gave this, or maybe even 150 years, God now says there's no hope for the people. So he didn't send Nahum over with the message as he did Jonah.